This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the episode number 312 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and I'm here with my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we have a very special guest. Now, you might have heard him last episode. He was also here for Mad Max. His name is David, aka the 4K Lowdown. David, go ahead and reintroduce yourself in case someone skipped the last episode and let them know where they could find you.
That's 4K Lowdown. You can find YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Letterboxd, Instagram.
Anyway, we are here. Now, Alex, David, we're starting a new month. You know what that means? A new month. I love starting new months. We always have a theme, right? So we have our franchise episode, and then we have our theme episode. This month's theme is films by one Michael Bay. Now, we have done some Michael Bay films because we did all the Transformers movies already, and we did another one. Oh, The Island with Pablo, who wanted to give it a zero, but we didn't allow him to. So we made him give certain categories a one. So this is not our first Michael Bay film, but this month, just so you guys know what we will be covering, we'll be doing a little bit of today's movie, which is The Rock from 1996. We will also be covering 13 Hours, Ambulance, and Pearl Harbor. So those are the movies. Pretty much the ones with no sequels are the ones we're doing this month, and we'll do Bad Boys some other time.
Later down the road. Yeah.
Before we get into this movie, you already know I got to ask the questions to both of you. Alex, I know you've seen this movie. When was the last time you watched this movie?
I haven't seen it in ages. I was watching this movie, and I was like, if it didn't feel like a new movie, it was just like a refresher. I was like, wow, it's been a while since I've seen this. So it was just like, all right, it's pretty cool.
David, same question. When was the last time you seen it? Because I know you have already.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've seen this a bunch of times. So yeah, it's probably been 5 or 6 years. It's just, it's something that I'll put in every once in a while. You know what? I just want a nice, good action movie that I can watch and not have to worry about it. Just put it in and enjoy it, or just catch it on TV. I'll watch it if it's on, something like that. So yeah, it's been a while, but yeah, it was a good refresher, like Alex said.
This is definitely a TNT special. That's what I like to call it. This is the movie you show on TNT every every few months back in the day. So anyway, I have seen this movie, but I have not watched it in a long time. I'm riding the same boat with you guys. It's been more than 3 or 4 years since I have seen it. So it was fun to revisit it. Now, before we get into our ratings, our rankings, our scoring, let me just go ahead really quick, give you the Rotten Tomato scores for this one. They're actually pretty good considering the director. These are actually pretty good numbers. From the critic side, it has a 67. So it is actually a fresh Michael Bay movie. There's not that many. You could count them on one hand. But with the audiences, this is an 85. So a lot of regular us normie people enjoy this movie. Alex, do you find any of these numbers surprising? Low, high? What do you think?
I was very shocked with the critics. Because honestly, we did a lot of movies that is higher than this.
That you think are worse.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's weird, but I'm very shocked. Not with the audience, because I knew the audience was going to be high. Yeah. I'm very shocked with the critics in terms of this type of movie.
Fair enough. David, find it either one surprising?
Yeah, I agree with that. The critic score, usually critics don't like this style. So I actually expected the critic score to be lower. Oh. But the audience should like this stuff because it's action junkie specialty. Yeah. It's like, it's like sprinkles on a donut. Yeah. And I think it works like that. So yeah, I actually expected the critic score to be lower than that.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I think I was surprised more when I went to look it up. I was like, this audience score seems... I think I actually agree with Alex. I thought it was lower than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be higher from what I remembered. It had been a while since I've seen it. But I'm not surprised with the audience score at all. Now, let's go ahead and get into it. Now, this movie, we're going to be going lead character. Now, it's of course, I guess our overall lead is played by Nicolas Cage. His name is Dr. Stanley Goodspeed, one of the worst names ever. But this is kind of a co... So we'll score Cage, but I want to also talk about Sean Connery's character, who is, of course, named John Patrick Mason. Because they're kind of co-leads, but Cage is in it more. Alex, I'll let you go first.
Nicolas Cage, okay. He is good in the role, but one thing I kind of noticed in the 90s, very over the top.
Yes.
Like, I was just like, wait a minute. Like, me and my wife sat there and I'm like, I didn't notice on how over the top he is in this movie compared to other, like Con Air and like the other movies that he did, like 8mm. I think that was in the 90s. Snake Eyes, Face Off. Right. Face Off, he's not over the top. That one, I think, is like his best performance as Castor Troy and John Travolta. Right. You're like, holy crap. But this character felt like Castor Troy. Troy, but just like knocked up the over the acting by 11. And he was just like wonky. I was just like, what is wrong with him? Like, especially with someone that when you're acting opposite to Sean Connery, you're like, wow, this is going to be really good. And then you think when you're with John Travolta, he's going to do overacting. And it's like the opposite. He's overacting with a good actor. Yeah. And then with John Travolta, he's really good. It's like, wait, wait a minute. What's going on here? But I mean, that's all due to the director. But Stanley, so I like the character though. I like that he was a weapons chemical engineer type of FBI thing. Like, I'm a sucker for those type of damn characters. I thought he was really good in this. I'm not saying that he was over the top. For a 90s movie, he was the hottest actor there is. I kind of understand this. One thing me and my wife talked about was, if this was acted by a way better actor, this movie, this lead character would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But the overacting to me would just create a straight up nuts. But I like Nicolas Cage. I thought he fit the role. I understand why they did it. He fit the role. I wasn't too crazy with the overacting, but I liked him. Again, he was he was very patriotic to his country. I love that he had 3 weeks of weapons training and he left it in his drawer in the house when he asked him for a gun. Yeah. I thought that was all funny. I love that he's like a geek because he like had the Beatles record come in and I was like, oh, that's my dude. And I thought that whole situation was actually pretty cool. I don't know. I felt like his chemistry with Sean Connery was actually really good too. I thought they had great on-screen chemistry. I thought he was good. Sean Connery, let me just tell you, there's a reason why my man was Bond. Because this dude could play action movies in his 90s, like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Like, he was freaking awesome. This is, I've been thinking about this, even watching this damn movie. He had to be James Bond in this movie.
That's a theory. People say that. If you watch it, like, if pretend his name was James Bond, he was set up, jailed, and now
he's an MI6 agent for 30 years. He got caught because he stole. And I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, this sounds so like up his alley. And I was like, it has to be. I was like, I loved it because I love that tie to the 007 stuff. I thought he was really good. I thought they worked well together. I want to put them together as a score in terms of like Sean Connery and because I think towards the end, they're together anyway. So the fact is, I think they worked well. I think the character, I love the dynamics that they both had two different type of personalities. One is more, you know, macho man that could fight and drive. And then the other one's a geek and can't shoot, but he could shoot and over the top. I give it a 5. I think for this lead, I think they both did well. And I think they carry the movie, especially they still carry the movie. So yeah, I give it a 5.
All right, David, what do you got?
I was at a 5 too. And again, I like Alex. I have to consider Sean Connery's character in that because Sean Connery's character as Mason made Stanley Goodspeed better in the movie. Made him better as the movie went along. Because yeah, he was a chemical super freak, but he didn't know how to use a gun. He didn't know how to fight. He never killed anybody. And Mason's like, you know what? I'm going to take you under my wing and we're going to do this because I know I need you. So, you know, Nicolas Cage was the brains. Sean Connery was the muscle.
Yeah.
And they worked. They gelled really well together, especially as the movie went along. So yeah, I went 5 for the lead.
Well, I hate to bring everybody down. Then you're going to take it down a little bit. Take it down a notch. Now, you guys got to remember too, Nicolas Cage, as far as Alex, what you were talking about, Nicolas Cage, this was the year after he won the Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas, which was 1995. This came out in 1996. So he was coming off of an Academy Award for his acting. He's so ridiculous in this. I forgot how ridiculous he was in this movie. Like, I remember this movie pretty good. I love Sean Connery in this movie. I'll just start there. I think he's great. I agree with you, Alex. If you watch it as like a fake 007 movie or like an R-rated modern 007 where he did a mission and got captured and then this is like what he is kind of become and then he gets his haircut and then he would have been like, if at the end he was like, what's your name? And he's like, Bond, James Bond. Everybody would have lost their mind. You know what I mean? Like, they would have absolutely lost their mind. So I love that. I didn't really like Nicolas Cage's character as much as you guys did. He's such a goober. Like, he's too much of a goober for me. The overacting doesn't help where he's like, give me a freaking... It's like, oh my gosh, come on, bro. Like, just calm down. You got that super hot girlfriend. She was on some soap opera in the 90s. I don't remember. Vanessa Marcel, the actress. But, you know, it's like, come on. She would not be with this dork. He's such a dork. I gave them a 4 because and it's mostly because Nicolas Cage brings down Connery. Because if Nicolas Cage played it a little more straight and was less of a goober, I probably would have gave it a 5 like you guys. But he didn't work as well for me. But Connery Or if we just scored Connery, I would have given it 5. I think I love him in this movie. He's hilarious too. Like his one-liners to Cage are so funny. I do like when Nicolas Cage is on the radio with that guy and he's like, "We have a problem. He has a gun." And the guy's like, "What do you have? A water pistol? What do you have?" He's like, "You have a gun too." It's so funny because of the weapons training thing. And I do like it. There's a lot of funny parts in this movie. So a 4 for me. Well, still good.
The question I have for you though is, because I know you're really big on into 90s movies.
Yes.
Don't you feel like the Nicolas Cage's Stanley Goodspeed, Godspeed, it's very up there with Keanu Reeves' Speed? Because he's overacting in that too.
No, but Keanu is not a goober in that movie. He's a little cooler than Stanley Goodspeed is in this movie. You know what I mean? I will say though, to your point, this is a very 90s movie. Yes, I agree with that. And actually, this performance, you know, you mentioned Face Off. When he's Caster Troy, the bad guy, this is how he is in that movie. He's like doing crazy faces and yelling when he's like singing with the choir and all that kind of stuff. And then when he becomes John Travolta is where he's like normal. So this was kind of for the par for the course. It is very 90s, yes. It's just a little too goofy. I didn't realize he was going to be... I thought he was a little more straight from what I remembered, but I guess I didn't remember.
I thought so too. I mean, once he started going nuts, I was like, what the hell is this dude going on?
It comes out of left field a couple times. It's like, what are you...
He does. Especially when he's yelling in the cage, how to get out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, what is wrong with
him? Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. But Connery, amazing. By the way, amazing. All right, let's move on to the villain. David, you get to go first. His name is General Francis Hummel. He's played by one of the best. We got to say, one of the best. Ed Harris. What did you think?
This was a tough one for me because he wasn't really a villain, but he started out that way. And then all of a sudden he was like, wait, I'm not doing the right thing. So I was like, okay, what am I going to give this guy as a villain? He made a great antagonist to what was going on. But ultimately the villains were the two captains because they took over and then it was like, okay, these guys are bad. So putting that together, I gave the villain a 4.
Ooh, okay. A 4 from Mr. David. What do you got, Alex?
So this one torn me also because I agree with David. Ed Harris is not the bad guy. Well, he is semi the bad guy. He is. But technically, he's not there to he's not there to shoot these damn missiles. He was just there to try to get money and try to like play these guys. These dudes went straight up like, you know what? We did mutiny. We're firing these damn rockets. Like they were no holds barred. But it was mostly Candyman. Yeah, Sweeney Todd. Then the other dude.
And that other guy who's not famous.
Yeah.
And that other guy.
Gregory Sportler or something like that.
Yeah, that
Gregory
guy.
Spork.
Yeah.
And to me, yeah, Sweeney Todd.
Spork.
I mean, they turn out to be the craziest, but I wouldn't call them the main villain of the movie.
Yeah, no, they're not. But the thing is like they kill. They do that one scene. They kill each other.
Yeah.
And then the main two bad guys that wanted to blow up the whole thing on the ones that stayed alive anyway. So like for me, Ed Harris as the main bad guy, he didn't shoot the army guys when they had the higher ground because it was just a stupid rock that fell and then everyone started shooting at each other. And then you had Michael Biehn in the middle of everything. Like he's like, I can't do that. He's like, put down your weapons, soldier. And he's like, I can't. So like for me, Ed Harris, oh man, I'm going to give him a 2 because honestly, in terms of acting, he's great, but he didn't do villainy. He didn't do nothing villains. In the beginning of the movie, did they kill those guys? No, they shot him with sleeping darts.
Okay.
So that's not villains. If you're shooting them with darts. Yeah.
Well, just didn't kill him. But okay.
Huh?
Yeah. 2. Okay, that's fine. 2-4. I'm going to disagree with both of you here heavily. I gave him a 5. I'm going to tell you why. The best villains, and this is something David kind of mentioned. The best villain is someone where you can completely understand their intentions and almost agree with it. If you have a bad guy, he stole rockets. You can't tell me that's not a villainy thing to do. Breaking into a security facility. Sure, he didn't want to kill other soldiers, so they use sleeping darts. Stole 15 missiles with poison gas on them. Ultimately,
well, they stole 4.
No. They stole 15. 15.
Goodspeed at the end before.
No. They wanted 16 and they ended up with 15 because one broke.
Right.
He's like, I want 16. But then when they're actually there, and then remember, Goodspeed takes out 13 chips and then they have 2 left. So it was 15 rockets.
Okay.
So he stole 15 rockets from a facility. So that's good guys don't do that. Good guys don't take people hostage and lock them into cages in Alcatraz. So he is the villain. Now he doesn't want to kill civilians. He doesn't want to kill soldiers. But what he is doing is still holding people hostage for money is a villainous thing. Now, he may not have been a psycho, but the performance is fantastic. Ed Harris is amazing in this movie. I love his interaction. David Morse. I like David Morse all the time, pretty much. I like him as like his number two guy. I thought David Morse was great. Yeah. I love the ragtag guys. Bokeem Woodbine is in there. Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd is in there. Candyman. Yeah, they ultimately go crazy and want to then just blow people up. Because they kind of, you know, the switch flipped at that point. Like, well, the only way they'll believe us is if we kill him. So, yes, he also did agree to launch the rocket and then had a second thought and changed it. So he was going to shoot him. I think my point is, I loved the way he talked with the people, with the government people, where he's like, I want this money for these people. You pretend like they don't exist. I could understand his cause. The way he went about it is why he's the villain of the movie. So ultimately, I think he was a fantastic villain because I was like, you know what? Those people probably should get some money. And you could almost say America was the villain because instead of actually paying those families, they were about to blow up 81 civilians on the island. With the president was like, send in the bombs. So the freaking president is a villain too because he was about to kill 81 people. Instead of, the guy's like, it's a slush fund. You can pay them. They didn't even want to do that. So there's a lot of villains in this movie. I give it a 5. I thought it was great. Okay, action scenes, Alex.
Okay. This movie got
anytime
action.
You start
this
with okay, movie, I'm always like, I don't know where you're going to go.
A little scared. Yeah. No, this movie has action. I like it a lot. And it's very, you know, it's funny with 90s movies. It's like, you know, when shit is going to happen, when the bad guy's running, right? And then all of a sudden there's a big car. He's going to take the big car. Mm-hmm. Then the good guy comes, he's shooting at him. And then all of a sudden there's a nice Ferrari. Sports car waiting for him to go in. Yeah. Or there's a guy with a motorcycle about to go and hit him. And he goes, hey man, what are you doing? And he goes, get off of this. I need it. And then he goes off. And then you see them chasing each other through the city of San Francisco, jumping boys, ramps and stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. This movie has that, right? But it's fun action. And this is what I mean by fun action. There's balls to the wall action that you're like, holy shit. Like there's shoot ups and everything going at once. Then there's campy adventure flick action movies, right? That you're going, wow, this is actually cool. Yes, the mine cart. You got the Indiana Jones Temple of Doom scene, right? Like, you're just like, what is this shit? It's, you know, you're like, this is so stupid, but it's fun. You're like, oh my God, you got an 80-year-old dude next to Nicolas Cage riding a railroad car. I was like, you know what? It is what it is.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool. Then you have, you know, the way Sean Connery throws his boss over the roof, mm-hmm. right? I was like, that's some 007 shit. Like, you didn't see him winding up the rope. I mean, you did start to see it, but you're like, what the hell is he doing? It reminded me the scene from The World Is Not Enough, the beginning with the bank heist, that Bond has a cigar and then he goes right out the window with the same thing with the string of the the thing from the hotel. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I was like, that is pretty cool. It's not a nod, but if you're a Bond fan, you kind of know, okay, this looks kind of similar to this damn
little
scene.
Bondish.
Real Bondish. Yeah. So to me, I'm like, this stuff is really cool. And then the scenes at the end, right? In Alcatraz was pretty cool when the Marines went against the Marines, you know, they had the higher ground. So at the end of everything, it has explosions. You have your car chase, which I love the car chase. And Michael Bay does great car chase scenes. Over the top, but they're good. I like it. And I love the black guy with the train. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, if you were here, I'd kick you in the dick,
man. The trolley?
The trolley.
He was so mad.
He was really mad. Like, they knocked over his damn trolley. So I kind of like that.
Find out where he is.
Yeah. So I thought that whole thing was cool. And then you had, like, the suspense of the F-16 coming and they shoot the missile and you're like, oh my God, did Nicolas Cage blow up? And then he did. It goes in the water. Mm-hmm. So at the end of everything, I give it a 5. It's a fun 90s action movie and I think it fits the generation that it came out in. And I thought it worked well. So I give it a 5.
David.
I dug this and, you know, going back to what we did last episode with Fury Road, it's not as easy to give this a 5 as it was Fury Road for the action. I think the action is great, but it's different than something like that. But this one had more variety. You've got the bombers and you've got the missiles and you've got the fighting and the guns and the explosions and the car chases and all that kind of stuff. And they're in Alcatraz, which is a great location to do the shots. Loved all that. So I ended up giving it a 5, but it wasn't as easy to get there as it was with Fury Road.
You're saying it wasn't an absolute slam dunk.
It wasn't an absolute slam dunk.
You know what? I agree with everything both of you said. And I agree with that point, David, in that you can make the case for a non-5. I don't think you could do that with Fury Road. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can say anything in it is not a 5. Here, I could see someone being like, you know what? Some of this is kind of cheesy. The low angle shots. This has the Bad Boy shot in it with Nicolas Cage where the camera's low. Yeah. It's spinning around him.
And he goes
looking around. You know, like, it's the Bad Boy shot.
I liked it, though.
It's Michael Bay.
And then that's when the guy with the motorcycle came. Yeah. There's a story there, man.
He's like, hey, man,
is
this
off? Give me your bike.
Like Michael Bay boiled down to his most Michael Bay as far as action.
I agree.
So, you know, I could see the point of someone making, but I agree with you both. I gave it a 5 because there's tons of action. I'm not going to sit here and act like, and it's well shot. For me, it's always, is there a lot and is it well shot? Is some of it goofy? Yeah. Why is that cart even under Alcatraz? Like where is there a steel mill under there? There's like a little basket that Nicolas Cage ends up in.
Mining coal under there. And,
what is going on? But you know what else? It's R-rated. So there's blood, there's stabbing the neck, you know, shooting. The bathroom scene's amazing. I cannot give that order. Order him. I cannot. A brick falls and everybody just starts shooting everybody. Love it.
It goes on.
You had the scene with Nicolas Cage doing the bomb disposal.
Yeah. Exactly. The suspense of that scene.
I thought the dude was going to die. I was like, oh, shit.
Even the opening scene, like the heist of the actual bombs, is very well done. Yeah. They're creeping around. They've got the face paint. So, like, and to David's point, variety. You get fist fights. You get car chases. You have explosions. You have planes. You have freaking little submarines going under, you know, driving under Alcatraz. So, the variety is the spice of life. And I gave it a 5 as well. I think the one thing you can say about both of our movies this week, they are pure action films. They're not trying to be anything else. This is an action movie from the 90s. And I think it was, in that regard, the action is well done. All right. Storyline. So here, let's see what happens here. David, what did you think about the storyline here?
Okay. So this was an interesting one because, you know, the storyline, okay, I get it. The general's like, you know, I can't think of anything else to do. So I'm going to hold 81 people hostage and threaten to release this poisonous gas. And this is a whole thing I learned as a parent is you do not give illogical consequences for your actions. If you can't follow through with what you're going to do, then don't do it. And that was one thing that kind of bugged me about this movie was the general knew that he could not follow through, but he was just desperate to get this money for the, and I get it. I understand it. They do deserve their money. But then ultimately when he was like, they called our bluff, it's over. And everybody's like, hell with that, because we lost all of our jobs. We're going to have to run to non-extradition country and we don't get any money. So that's when it actually got scary, was when the two guys who really shouldn't have been in charge, you know, became in charge and did their thing. So as far as the storyline goes, and I'm kicking myself for it because I love it, but I'm going to give it a 3.
Ooh, okay. I respect that. I respect your take and your explanation. So very, very well said. Alex, what do you got?
Okay. I agree with everything Dave said, but watching this movie, when it comes to 90s movies and we're watching it in the 2000s, right? I try to figure out, I go, how does this, one of my criteria is watching it towards the end is this still relevant? Meaning, is it still watchable after all these years? Does it still capture the same essence of when I saw it the first time? Does it change? That's where I start to deduct and subtract some stuff and then add. If I go, no, this actually enhanced my viewing and watching. I gotta say, this movie still holds up. And in terms of enhancing, it didn't do none of that. It was, for me, it was the same as when I first watched it, going, this shit is actually really, really good. It is fun action. Yes, over the top, but it's a 90s movie. I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. And the plot of the film was actually made fucking sense. So it's not like it was one of those like floopity doodah, you know, just a little action and stupid ass Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
So like, I think that even with Ed Harris, and the thing is, this movie has a lot of great B actors and A-listers in this film. And I think that's what hurt, that helps, not hurts. It helps the movie become good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys noticed this. There's a scene where Nicolas Cage is inside the Alcatraz and he's about to walk through a tunnel. original. And I don't know if Hans Zimmer's in this doing the score, but I heard the Pirates.
Hans Zimmer was one of the composers.
Yeah. Yo, dude, I heard the Pirates music.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The pre-version of the Pirates
music. Yes, the pre. Like, it wasn't the pre-Pirates. Like, the same melody, but you start to, like, when I started talking, wait a minute, and I thought that note was going to hit, but I was just like, okay. It was kind of weird in the action scenes, but I was like, okay, this is actually pretty cool. I liked it. I thought this movie still holds up and everything. I'm not going to give it a perfect because it's not a perfect film, but I think this is one of the best, I'm going to say best Michael Bay films in his filmography. I'm not crazy with the Bad Boys. It's been ages since I've seen them, but this has to be up to the top three for me in terms of Michael Bay. So I'm going to give this a 4. I think it has a great storyline.
I think you made a good point there too. And in that this movie, you can make this exact movie now and make it pretty much the exact same way and it would work.
Oh yeah.
The motives, the idea, you know, kidnapping people, pointing rockets at a city. Like, you could do this now and you don't have to change much. So I do agree with that. I'm a 90s junkie. 90s films that's my decade of favorites. I'm with Alex here on a 4. I think I think it's one of the best Michael Bay storylines as far as the movies are concerned. He gets some, and he doesn't write his movies really. You know what I mean? Like, he just directs. However, he likes to direct stuff that stupid people write a lot of time. And I think this one, I'm just going to run past you guys something really quick. I gave it a 4. That's my score. I don't want to go too much. I think everything you guys said summed up a lot how I feel about it. But don't you agree? Because I have two scenarios. I'm going to share the second one for overall, and I want to get your thoughts. But don't you agree that this movie, same storyline, but a different director, I have someone in mind, that they would have executed it in a different way, where I think, David, maybe your score would have came up. Maybe it could have been a 5. And I think if Tony Scott directed this movie.
Do you always throw Tony Scott?
It's got to be Tony Scott, because this reminded me of something like think of like Crimson Tide, where you have these these two sides that are, apply that tone to this exact storyline, which means a lot of the goofy humor is taken out, a lot of the overacting. Do you think it would have been a better film in that kind of, with that in mind? Either one of you.
Storyline, yeah. I think for sure. But yeah, Michael Bay doesn't do a whole lot of depth and in his movies. And I don't mind that. I didn't say it wasn't good. It's just that the storyline, there were some issues, but yeah, it's a 90s movie. I do agree that it's one of the better written Michael Bay films, even though I gave it a 3. But yeah, I think if it was Tony Scott or Ridley Scott or, you know, certain people like that, we were talking about Zack Snyder earlier, if it had some similarities there, I think it would have been more serious. It would have been, you know, I don't mind the comedy. I think the comedy was great, but they could have tightened that up a little bit and made that a more intense,
less
movie.
Over the top, more intensity.
Yeah, I think if I was going to pick a director, I won't go with Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder is more of a visionary, like, comic book to life.
Yeah.
So he won't work for this. I know who could. And I think this would be something that will be new to him. But I think with his background of action, I think it would make this movie, I think, will elevate the action sequences. And this is my man, Chad Skorinsky, from the John Wick films. Stahelski. Yeah. If you put him, not David Lynch, because David Lynch had his time. Yeah, I think Chad, with his, because you see some of the John Wick movies, like the first John Wick film is kind of serious with action, was kind of like this movie, if you really look at it. John Wick 1.
He doesn't do goofy. Well, so far.
No, he does not do goofy. Ooh. And I mean, all we've seen is all John Wick. We haven't seen him do his own solo stuff. Once he does, and I have a feeling I could see him doing a Rock remake and actually make it better than what we got here. I mean, this was great. You have a legendary Sean Connery, but
I could see him doing a remake, but I could see 90s Tony Scott making this movie and making it better.
Yes, I can see that. Yes.
I wanted to throw something past you guys on this. What about a sequel to The Rock where Nicolas Cage was thrown in jail?
Ah. And he remembers.
Because he now has the secrets.
That's right. He has the little jar, the national treasures.
He has the microfilm with all the junk on it. So he knows about Area 51 and which he already got from the Book of Secrets.
Now you need a new action hero to come get him out.
I have another action hero to come get him out.
I know who.
It's got to be a younger guy. He can't be old.
No. You flip it. It'll be Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, he's old.
Now. And then you get Pierce Brosnan to try to get him out. No. Well, he's not. No, because Pierce Brosnan is older than he is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So he, they're still two old guys.
Yeah, but you
guys.
Play. Yeah, but what thing would be funny because then you had Sean Connery played him, and then you have Pierce Brosnan, that other, or Daniel Craig because he's younger.
Daniel Craig's younger.
So you could get Daniel Craig to come and take him out.
That'd be a little sneaky.
That would be pretty fun. He'll be an ex MI6 agent.
All right. So I got another one of these hypotheticals, but I'm going to save it for overall because I think it would also be awesome. All right. So storyline 3, 4, 4. Overall, I'm going to flip it here. David, I'm going to let you wrap it up. What did you think overall of the film?
Overall, I enjoy this movie. It's definitely rewatchable. I enjoy it every time I watch it. Like I said, when it's on TV, even if it's halfway through, I can just pick it up and watch it the rest of the way. I can have it on while I'm vacuuming or cooking dinner, or I could just sit and enjoy it with my tea and my popcorn. So overall, I'm going to give it a 4.
Very good. Alex, what do you got?
I agree. I give it a 4. This is a fun 90s movie. I enjoyed it all the way. I hope it gets a 90s 4K pickup. I hope it gets a 4K soon. Like 4K. You know, yeah. It looked great. Yeah.
You know,
I've only got the DVD, so I really like
4K. I watched it on Blu-ray. It does look good, but this was Hollywood Pictures, and I know Kino's done a lot of stuff from Hollywood Pictures, so call them up. Get that 4K. They're doing Face Off. Call them up. Let's get that 4K.
Yeah, I saw it digitally, and it looked 4K.
It looks good.
It looked really clear. The sound was great, and I was like, man, I want this movie in 4K. Like, there's a lot of 90s movies that I would like to be transferred to 4K. But anyway, in terms of The Rock, I think it has everything you want. You have you have Sean Connery, great actor when he wants to do the roles, because there's other roles that he looked like he didn't want to do.
Of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
No, that movie's awesome. Stop. Don't stop. That movie's awesome.
We're going to do that one day.
I hope we do.
Well, David, you like that movie?
No, call me all back,
right, we're bringing Brad, you back on when we do League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I'm in.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well,
Africa won't let him die.
We should have a month called Movies That Should Never Have Been Made.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen will definitely be in there.
Do the Avengers one with Ralph Fiennes, Uma Thurman, and then
adaptations that should have never happened because those are like that was a TV show, one's a comic book. I gotta find 4. Bloodshot, maybe Vin Diesel. Go with that.
What's the one the one that
or Babylon AD?
Bullet to the head.
We're gonna do a bullet. Don't worry, we're gonna have bullet another Stallone month. We can do some bullet to the head.
Stallone month. Yeah, bullet to the head.
All right, so 4. I'm not gonna rock the boat. I'm gonna agree with you both. This movie, to me, you know my food analogies, Alex. I do them all the time. You know what this movie is? Mashed potatoes. This movie's mashed potatoes. You could eat it at any time. It can go with any meat, and you're always going to like it because it's mashed potatoes. You know what I mean? Like, that's this movie. It's meat. Yeah, it's a comfort food. This is a comfort food. Yeah. It is not groundbreaking. You're not going to say, hey, do you guys want to watch cinema? Let's watch The Rock. That's not what's going to happen. But you want to be like, yo, you guys want to have just like a pretty good action movie night where you're going to have a fun time and see some stuff blow up? The Rock, mashed potatoes. Here's my other hypothetical I want to run past you. What if, I was thinking of it when I was watching it, and Alex, I think because we did the original movie on this show, what if this was actually a sequel to Escape from Alcatraz and Clint Eastwood was the old guy? Remember, he escapes and then they captured him. I think because this was the 90s, he was still like young enough to be in this role. What if that was the character instead of Sean Connery? I think it would be just as good or cooler because it could have been an actual secret sequel to Escape from Alcatraz.
I like that.
Right?
You could do it now. That'd be neat.
He's too old now.
You can barely walk. You can get Scott Eastwood. He looks just like him.
Scott Eastwood in there.
He's has Scott Eastwood.
Isn't that a pretty cool, like, it would have been cool.
I like that. Yeah.
That'd be fun. I like that.
That would have been awesome. Like, he comes out with the long hair and then when they open the face, it's Clint Eastwood. Hey, Escape from Alcatraz. Yeah, because that movie's so good, but it's like so serious, you know, and he escaped.
We saw that movie, right?
We did it on the show for 70s month.
Yeah.
So we could have said, you know, he actually escaped because he did in that movie and he went in hiding, but let's say they caught him and then he's the guy. I don't know. I think it could have been cool. Missed opportunity, guys.
Well, that one, and I always wanted to see him. I thought that when they recasting were for the Magnificent Seven, I thought Clint Eastwood was going to be one of the guys as the Seven.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like Denzel, Clint Eastwood. Yeah. Oh my God. I would have been going nuts.
That would have been cool.
I would have been like, actually.
Yeah.
It would have been very old.
But then you got Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I like Chris Pratt, but he'd not fit in that movie.
Ethan Hawke. You know, that was a good
D'Onofrio. Ethan Hawke was good. D'Onofrio's always good. But then they had the Asian guy. Like, what was that guy doing there? I don't know.
Asian. Asian guy.
Oh, that was Storm Shadow.
That was Rob's cousin. Yeah.
Wasn't he in G.I. Joe? Cousin. He was in G.I. Wasn't he Storm Shadow?
He was in G.I. Joe, I think
Storm
so.
Storm Shadow or...
You Storm Shadow.
Not Snake Eyes. No, yeah, no, he was Storm Shadow.
All right, so overall, what did you guys give it? David, what's your total points?
My total is a 21.
21? All right, very good. Alex, what'd you got?
Mine's is a 20 because I'm a dummy and I gave a villain a 2.
Well, you're not a dummy. You didn't work for you. It didn't work for you as good. Yeah, I got a 22 because I love the villain, but we're pretty close on everything. We were pretty close on everything. Just like Mad Max, besides one category, we were all pretty close on everything. So this is a mashed potatoes action film, 90s. A good way to start off Bay month, because we'll see if it goes up or down next week. We will be starting a new franchise with the Men in Black franchise. So we'll be doing Men in Black 1, of course, another 90s film starring Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones. And then we'll be doing our next Michael Bay movie. Now, Alex, I know you've never seen this movie. It's a movie called 13 Hours, and it has a subtitle of something about Benghazi. I don't know, but it's 13 Hours starring John Krasinski, your boy. John, this was like when he first was getting into action mode. So we're going to be doing that, and we will have a special guest for both of those shows. Scott, you guys remember him from X-Men and Wanted. He reviewed those with us. He's going to be coming back for the first time of like, he signed up for like 15 episodes. So he'll be back to cover these two movies with Alex and myself. So yeah, that's what we got coming up.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There were rumors saying that John Krasinski might play John McClane remake of Die Hard.
I mean, I like Krasinski. So anytime I hear him attached to stuff, I'm never like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. With the Die Hard, I don't know. Die Hard for me is not a franchise that you could reboot that quick.
It doesn't need it, but he is sarcastic. He has that sarcastic humor because like from The Office. And now you know he could do action because of all these Jack Ryan. And
Jack
all that
Ryan's,
stuff.
Jack Ryan's really good.
Yeah.
But
you know, Bruce. I mean, Bruce Willis is he was a gem. He was. There's only one.
He
Bruce
has
Willis.
That. Yeah. He has that one iconic line in Die Hard.
Yeah, but he just got that swag. He's like, no, I want to be friends with him.
Yeah, but remember, I love that one scene when. When he's in the limo, he goes, "Hey, here's my business card. You got to call me." He says, "You know what I'm thinking, Argyle. You nice guy, Argyle." Yes.
Remember, we did Die Hard. Yeah. We did those movies already. And unfortunately, we had to watch that fifth one. So skip that.
I love part four, though.
Part four is pretty good.
I love
part four. Is really good.
We ranked that one pretty high. All right. We did. And before we go, David, please remind everyone where they could find you, all your socials, your YouTubes, everything.
All right. You guys, thanks for having me on. This has been an absolute pleasure. So if you guys want to find me, it's the 4K Lowdown. You can find me on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, Facebook, and like I said, my backyard, but I won't tell you where I live.
Yes. And guys, that's Lowdown with an E after the W. So L-O-W-E. Yes.
Correct.
Down. And a spoiler alert, David will be back on some future episodes. So if you enjoyed what you heard from him, he will be joining us for a couple more down the line. So keep an eye out for those as well.
Yep.
Not 15 of them, but...
Not 15, but a good solid
like, maybe
two
like
or three.
Six or eight.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, David, for coming on. But yeah, you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram. He goes live every other week on a Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern over on his Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with the same people he's doing his lives with on his podcast called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Any action movie, guys, on Instagram is Geeks and Flicks. And then, of course, our official website, www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate. From Netflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. David, thank you so much for sitting in the hot seat.
Amazing job.
Of the action. Yes.
Been awesome.
Thank you so much. Be awesome to each other, guys, and geek out.